Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right too. More than the world has needed for millennia. Quite rightly so, when we actually talk about the author of The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, House of Special Purpose, and of course the latest classic, This House is Haunted. It's a genuine delight to be able to welcome back to the airwaves a gentleman who has produced, in terms of House of Special Purpose, still something which I have in my office at the University of Lincoln and say that is a 10 out of 10 novel. John Boyne, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for that.
Good to touch base with you, good self, John. I've got a confession to start off with. I must admit, I have sinned, John, because I haven't sort of picked up many of your recent works. And you've been a very prolific writer recently. And I think it's probably House of Special Purpose, so wonderful. So it's there. But just looking at John Boyne, your website, johnboyne.com, you've just been producing stuff. Is that quality coming out of every pore?
Well, I guess because I write for both adults and for young readers, and I move between the two. So I write an adult novel and then I write a children's book. So it does kind of increase the number of books that come out, I suppose.
Well, you say that so effortlessly as though, yeah, well, I'll do an adult one, I'll do a child's one, etc. It's like it's formula fiction. No, it's nothing but formula fiction, because you always sort of lock into, I mean, just looking through these whole things, The Absolutist, The Mutiny and the Bounty, Next of Kin, Crippen, The Congress of Rough Riders, etc. And, of course, the upcoming The House is Haunted. I was going to actually with House of Special Purpose and then House is Haunted. Is there a kind of aspect, a narrative sort of routine here where you're thinking, I've got to have a house in there somewhere?
No, I only actually thought of that recently, that the two books at the time occurred to me. They're very different books.
I would have thought so. Let's, because obviously, when you arrive in Lincoln for Friday, May the 10th, at the Lincoln Drill Hall, the room upstairs, I'm sure people will still, I think it's better if I could just bring in Rob Nichols at this stage. The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, we had it as a book of the month for Southside Broadcasting, obviously, Rob. I mean, it's one of those, obviously you might have seen the movie as well as the book, etc. The tale of World War II concentration camp from a young child's perspective and so on, and that, you know, that was a classic.
Yeah.
That's something we sort of work to, but what are your own sort of thoughts on sort of John's sort of historical take and so on?
Well, I'm interested to see if this is a totally different approach in this book, and whether do you approach writing children's books in a completely different way, or
I don't really, because when I wrote my first children's book, which was Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, I hadn't read any children's books since I was a child, and I wasn't really familiar with children's writers now or what was going on in that world. So my innocence, really, in terms of that genre of writing, probably helped quite a bit. And I've stuck with the same type of writing, I think, for it, which is that I don't try to write down for children. I don't try to write simpler language. I don't try to write simpler stories. In fact, the three books I've written for children to date, each have very serious subjects at the center of them: the Holocaust in one, the death of a parent in the other, in the second, and a boy who's very, very different in the third. I think the only difference that I make is I just, with the children's books, they have a child at the center. It sounds very simple, but a child at the center of them, and the adult books have an adult. But other than that, I don't make a great distinguish. I don't distinguish very well between them.
John, if it's good enough for Steven Spielberg, it's good enough for your good self to use the child-centred notion. I mean, just actually having a quick reminder, we've got the terrible thing that happens to Barnaby Brockett and Noah Barleywater Runs Away, which were the two texts for younger readers that were actually produced from that point of view. Upcoming, of course, we've got Stay Where You Are and Then Leave, which could almost be an instruction just to actually do that, you know, stay where you are and then leave.
That's a children's book coming out at the end of the year, based around the First World War, so I'm going back to a war story there.
Now, a chilling tale of obsession, maternal love, and dark secrets, set in a remote house in rural Norfolk in the 19th century. The little strap line for This House is Haunted. Share with us some of the thoughts and the ways in which you said, right, you know, Norfolk, that's a part of the world that obviously has got lots of haunted houses, let's put something there. You know, it's those obsessive Delia Smith fans, obviously.
Well, I went to university at the University of East Anglia,
yep,
in Norwich, so yes. I know the place quite well, and I taught there for a while.
Yep.
But I always wanted to write a ghost story. I love ghost stories, and people don't write so many ghost stories anymore. And when I had the idea for this, the one thing I really thought was that, you know, I wanted to take all the themes of ghost stories, like a big house, scary children, governess, and try to refresh it, you know, try to do it in a new way.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, we spoke, I remember, when we talked about House of Special Purpose and said, what research did you do? And I think you'd gone over to St. Petersburg and embedded yourself in terms of that. Would you still say, from the writer's perspective, it's really important? I mean, we've just been focusing on a novel by Lars Kepler, Husband and Wife Team, in one of our Book of the Month projects here. And obviously, in that stage, you say, do you want to actually immerse yourself in the world of psychological serial killing or drama or various other, and child abduction? What's your take in terms of that? I mean, clearly it's important to do research, but do you adopt, I mean, if I can mix the kind of artistic forms here, a Stanislavski approach, a kind of method acting, or a Brechtian distanciation? You just sort of take, well, that's it, that's the story, and I'll put that into the plot there.
I think what I do, certainly with House of Special Purpose and The Absolutist, which followed it, yeah. I think the one thing I try to learn as much about the place and the time and the people as possible. But I wait for the moment where I feel I know enough now to put everything aside and just start writing the story. Mm. And I think it's important to do that, because you don't want to write, you know, I'm not writing a work of nonfiction. It does have to have a good story, has to have interesting characters. And your first duty is to the story you're telling, not necessarily to the facts of history. But it's quite refreshing in a way then to write something like This House is Haunted, which doesn't need any research, where you're just, you know, basically making it up as you go along.
Yeah.
I mean, in advance of writing it, I went back to reading a lot of Emore James, for example, you know, a great ghost story writer, reading some of Dickens' ghost stories, you know, trying to get into the tone and mood of those big house ghost books.
Edgar Allan Poe
as well, yeah. And, you know, just trying to find, you know, what makes them work. The one thing I found very much in that kind of reading research for this book was that in writing a ghost story, you don't have to explain to the reader the existence of ghosts, but you do have to explain the existence of your ghost. It has to make sense that if you have a presence lingering, that the reader will accept, when the explanation comes, that the reader will accept that's a good reason why somebody would linger in the afterlife.
Mm.
But you don't have to actually explain why ghosts exist at all. And I learned that, I think, from reading all those books and reading all those short stories, and then finally coming up with what I hoped was a good reason for a ghost to be there.
One of the reasons I'm always keen to evangelize about your work, John, is I find consistently you manage to deal with new topics, different topics, a variety of topics. There are other authors, no names mentioned, obviously, Hilary Mantel, sorry, but where you just think, well, Hoi is just rewriting the same sort of package and it's the same again. Do you actually constantly look for different topics, as opposed to sort of saying, well, you know, okay, the first book was a major hit, it was The Boy in Striped Pyjamas, I'm now going to write nothing but books about children in concentration camps?
No, well, because actually, The Boy in Striped Pyjamas was my fifth book.
Exactly,
and
yes.
It, you know, and the first four, you know, hadn't...
First movie, let's say. Yeah.
No, I mean, what I always feel is that I do write different books every time, but I look at them now and I can see connections between them. You know, a lot of them are historical. There's sometimes recurring characters through history that reappear through them. So that even though, yes, you know, on one hand, a story of the bounty and then the Russian Revolution and the First World War, and a ghost story, I always feel that, to me as the writer of them, that there is a logical connection between all those stories somehow. I'm not just kind of trying to write sort of like a crime novel one year, if that's popular, and then a horror story or a science fiction book or a Tudor novel or whatever, just because that's what people are doing. You know, they are different stories, but I feel a connection between them all.
Mm. Yes, I was thinking about maybe we should suggest to Tom Tykwer and the Wachowskis that perhaps they could actually sort of have a kind of giant movie made about all the novels that you've written and all happening at once. But
that would be nice.
Well, a sort of cloud atlas thing. Rob, any other questions or comments?
No, just really nice to... really interesting to hear thought process about all these books and... some refreshing take on and writing books based on historical times and epochs, and look forward to the First World War book, because obviously very interesting period and an awful lot happening at home as during the First World War. A lot of time of change as well at home as well as fighting in the trenches, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we're coming up to the centenary, of course, of the outbreak of the First World War.
Absolutely.
So it's a fascinating period, because the adult novel I wrote before, This House is Haunted, The Absolutist, was set during the First World War as well, and that's the first book I've written which, when I got to the end of it, I knew that I had to write about this period again. It's a fascinating, endlessly interesting period, I think, the First World War.
Mm. John, we started the piece off by saying about your previous trip to Lincoln. I think it was all for the Lincoln Literary Festival. Is that Lincoln inspired, obviously, the brainchild very much of Sarah Bullimore and colleagues, and I'd like to include myself with respect to that, in terms of a team who put this together, self-funded through crowdfunding and a variety of other bits and pieces. What are your thoughts about this Lincoln-inspired festival? Hopefully you've had a look at the brochure and the live
round. I have.
Yep.
It's very varied. Mm-hmm. There's novelists, there's children's writers, mm-hmm. there's lots of activities. There's a fantastic website online.
This podcast will be on there shortly, John, so it's very crucial. Right. I mean, that's a key thing on that sort of basis. So,
I think it's really important I live in Dublin, and in all towns around England and Ireland, the more kind of literary festivals, arts festivals we can get communities in to, challenge themselves, bring families along, bring children along, it's always good, but this looks like a terrific festival. I'm really looking forward to returning to it.
And let's exclude your own event, which obviously is, I couldn't believe this, £4, it must be £40, surely, no, £4, that's all you need to actually sort of touch base with
yourself. That's how cheap I am.
the room upstairs. Are there any other events which you would sort of think, well, actually, if I had a choice, will you be attending any other events?
I won't, because I'm actually on a book tour through the UK for the book, so I'll be... I'm going through about 7 or 8 cities or something.
It'll be a flying visit, but that's the whole thing.
It'll be a flying visit, but I would advise people to go onto the website and check out some of the others.
I would have invited you to actually join us for 50 years of Doctor Who with our good friend Graham Harper, a BAFTA award-winning director, Terence Dix, Richard Franklin and a Dalek, but that's a different light. We'll cross-promote that. John, it's been fabulous as ever touching base with you. I think we should start the campaign now, Rob, to bring John Boyne to a Middlesbrough Literary Festival. I think we should
look forward to that.
Yeah, we would welcome and develop that. Two final questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on the show today?
Yes, I have. It's been very, very pleasant.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again, either when you're in Dublin or certainly on Lincoln or on road or various other bits and pieces? Will you return? And hopefully not a gap of about 3 years this time.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. That'd be great.
John Boyne will return.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting.podbean.com.